We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat podcast. I'm the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, along with longtime color analyst Stan Weber. Kansas State on the road this week in football, and that will be our major focus on the show here today. K-State is off to a 2-0 start. Vanderbilt is off to a 2-0 start. The Commodores from the SEC in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where we will head this weekend. We'll fly on Friday and play the ball game on Saturday at 6:30. K-State Sports Network coverage begins at 4:30 with the pregame show, and we remind you about the Bill Snyder Radio Show coming up this week, too. Well, Stan Weber, the last time Kansas State played in Nashville, and this will be just the second time ever, the first time 1984. I'm going to guess you might remember a little bit about that game.
Yes, I do remember. That was the kickoff to the season of 1984. We went on the road. It started at Vanderbilt, and that was in the day where you played some tough, tough non-conference games. Now, I know going through the schedule that we played Tennessee Tech, so it was really the first time that we've seen a school that was a little lesser on the schedule, but we also went to South Carolina that year and to TCU. So three road non-conference games kicked off at Vanderbilt, and yes, I was a senior and the starting quarterback, and Vanderbilt had one of their better teams for that era. They did a nice job, and the game was tied 14-14, but we couldn't get over the hump, and they won the ball game, and there was one screen pass where you fake to the left, spin around, and then throw a screen pass to the right. And Wyatt, I was a better runner than passer. Somehow the ball floated slightly off the fingertips of our running back. And I think, you know, you always are optimistic. I think we might have had a touchdown, and that might have made the difference. So I think I basically lost the game for us by throwing a bad pass 3 inches too high on a chance where we had like a 30 or 40-yard touchdown chance. So, yeah, I remember a lot about it. Most of it's not good. I didn't hang out with the music places in Nashville or anything like that. I just went over to the stadium, and it was a good old-fashioned game. I mean, it was close and tight, and there were chances, but I'll hand it to Vanderbilt. They're a very good football team. They deserve to win, and I messed it up, so we deserve to lose.
Well, let me ask you.
I deserve to lose, at least.
You know, a week ago we saw Brad Lambert, the coach of Charlotte in K-State's 55-7 win. He also, if I'm not mistaken, played in that game, and I think had a pick six. Is that right?
Yeah, his freshman year, he had a pick six. His first game out of there using his eligibility. So he brought us back. We made a two-point conversion, so we tied it up 14-14. So we went to 14-6 to 14-14 thanks to Brad Lambert. And isn't it amazing? We haven't used the words Brad Lambert in 25, 30 years. It's my 31st year doing this, and now we're talking about him 2 weeks in a row like he's just the guy next door. But it was awesome seeing Brad Lambert. It was awesome meeting his family. I met his wife. They met at Marshall when he was there with Jim Donnan, who's an old K-State coach,
right,
and the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach when I was at K-State. They met there, have three children, met all of his children, and it was so much fun to see them along with Matt Walderstedt. And this week, Wyatt, post-game, I got a picture sent to me, and it's of K-State coaches and two coaches from Charlotte sitting out on the field chatting. And I looked around, and there must be seven or eight different guys out there. And I'm looking at the picture right now. There are 7 guys out there, and 5 of them are K-State coaches, and 2 of them are Charlotte coaches, and they all went to K-State.
Isn't that crazy?
So they're around, and someone has the best picture. I don't know who took this picture of all these guys laughing. They're all laughing. Someone said something funny. But Matt Walterstedt, Brad Lambert from Charlotte are out there. Colin Klein, Sean Snyder, Mo Lattimore, Stanton. My son was out there. And it's just a great picture to say before the game. You know how coaches get around and talk about old stories? Well, there were some good old stories going on right there. Many generations of Wildcats out talking before the game. It was fun to see, and I'm glad someone sent me the picture.
Well, and it really was a pretty good ball game in a lot of ways. You look at what K-State did in week one. They did it because, I think in part because Central Arkansas really kind of wanted to take the run away. Jesse Ertz gashed them in the pass game with 333 yards and 4 touchdowns. This week it was a little more, I'll say, straight-up defense that we saw from Charlotte. And K-State rushed for 304 yards, had 5 rushing touchdowns, and oh yeah, for good measure, averaged 6 yards per carry. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah, really good balance in the offense. And Charlotte was known as a blitzing team, but they played it a little bit more straight, a little less blitzing until the latter part of the game, trying to make sure they were in the right spot and not give any openings for K-State. And the Wildcats were able to block them up and run the football. So congratulations to that offensive line. There's a mixture of linemen in there with Dalton Reisner getting hurt on the first series of the game. But the Wildcats stepped up, and Nick Kaltmeyer did a good job of coming in and playing the rest of the game. He doesn't have a lot of experience, but it just shows you the kind of depth K-State has and how trained these players are that Nick was able to step in and do as well as he did at the right tackle position.
Stan, we continue to see the Wildcats run the football with multiple guys, and it's such an important thing to have depth. We talk about it all the time, but they're off to a 2-0 start. They've done really, really well, and I think the really good part is we haven't seen Justin Sillman yet, and we may see him this week in Nashville.
Coach Snyder fairly optimistic this week that he's back and able to practice, and boy, did he finish the season strong. Remember, Alex Barnes, when we finished the 2016 season, was unavailable for a number of the final games, and yet K-State was rushing for over 200 yards in each of those games. And like last week against Charlotte, a number of those games, there were 300 yards rushing the football, and Justin Sillman was the main man. Well, he hasn't been able to play this regular season, but it would be good to get him back in the mix. And if you think about Alex Barnes and Justin Sillman, two legitimate starting running backs, both could give each other a slight rest. And then Dalvin Womack, I really have liked what I've seen. He has a spark about him, Wyatt, coming off injury. Coach Snyder mentioned that last year. He looks like he's faster, more healthy, and more like the star running back that played at Blue Springs High School in the Kansas City area. 2-time Simone Award winner, the best high school player in the Kansas City metropolitan area. Dalvin Womack is a factor, and it's nice to see him. So you got three guys who have experience and look like they're big-time backs. And then the youngsters coming along, very powerful for their age and fast. You think about Tyler Burns, how fast he is and how his muscles are built up. And then you say, well, he's pretty big and strong until Mike McCoy comes out, the young man from Topeka, even bigger and stronger. So those guys are yearning for the opportunity to run the football. They're going to be factors in the future, and it's fun to see them play. But already being three deep, Tyler Burns and Mike McCoy, like many K-State Wildcats throughout the years, is going to have to wait their turn to get multiple snaps.
Stan, let me ask you, I think, maybe a question that's a little bit difficult to answer, depending on how you look at things and the difference between the first two opponents. But here's the question, and I'll let you just roll from there. Was K-State better defensively in Game 2 than in Game 1?
I think there were just different pieces of the defense doing different things. I think that the Charlotte offense was so quarterback-centric that they didn't have as many weapons. So I think that Central Arkansas was actually a little harder team to deal with, and then they surprised K-State with an option game, which suddenly made it look like K-State was having some trouble stopping them. There's no way you could discount or throw away how well K-State's defense played in the game against Charlotte. So you'd have to say that that was better defense. And in week two, they were ready for the option, and they were ready for the quarterback games, and they stuffed the run and limited Charlotte to less than 200 yards. So it's pretty easy to say, yeah, they played better against Charlotte, but I don't want to take away the good things that they did, and they did a number of those other than playing against the option against Central Arkansas. So maybe not as big a differential in the two games as some people might think, but definitely when you hold someone under 200 yards, it's going to be hard to beat that game.
Well, as we mentioned, Kansas State on the road for the first time this weekend in Nashville against the Vanderbilt Commodores, and this was a team that went to a bowl game a year ago, finished 6-7, lost that bowl game to a pretty good North Carolina State team, but this is a team that seems, at least to me, to be a little bit on the uptick with Coach Mason, kind of from that David Shaw tree at Stanford. You're going to see lots and lots of offensive personnel, tight ends, lots of motion. What's the challenge for K-State defensively this week?
Well, Vanderbilt strategically looks a lot like K-State. They may not have as much quarterback run game, but they basically play a style of football offensively like K-State. So you bring a third linebacker into the lineup on multiple downs. And in the Big 12 and so far throughout this season, K-State's basically a 4-2-5 defensive football team. But now you're going to go back to a little bit of old school and see what the 4-3 looks like and what an extra linebacker looks in the game. So they'll have two tight ends. They'll have two backs in the backfield. They'll play power football and all different types of passing game, from play-action passes, old school out of the I formation, to bootlegs, to drop-back passing, four wide. They give you a little bit of everything. They have balance in their offense, and they have a superstar running back. So the fact that you can talk about Ralph Webb being one of the all-time, he's the third leading rusher in SEC history. So you're talking about a big-time guy to lean on at the running back position, and yet they don't just give him the ball. They have diversity in their offense. The quarterback, Kyle Shurmur, his dad's the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. He understands football very well. He's a veteran starting quarterback. And when you said that they're on an uptick, I would say they're on a major uptick. And it even occurred from the beginning of last year to the end of last year. The first five games, they averaged way less, probably 100 to 150 yards less in offense from the first five games to the improved version in the last seven games, where they averaged 484 yards a game. Now, when they hit their stride, they were a completely different football team, and that's why they were able to go out and beat a team like Georgia and Tennessee at the end of the season. So you can't really look at Vanderbilt as a 2016 football season, not their stats, not their play, none of that, Wyatt. You've got to go watch the end of the season. Does that remind you of another team that we may know a little bit about?
Exactly.
Look at the difference of K-State football in the latter half of last year compared to the first. I mean, K-State's team at the end of the year would have beat the K-State football players, the same guys, at the first of the year by three touchdowns at least. So we all know, if you follow the Wildcats, the type of improvement you can have. Well, guess what? Vanderbilt did exactly that. And they got off to a hot start this year. They went on the road to start the season. They don't do that very often. And they won. They went and won against Middle Tennessee State. And that's a school that's very tough, has a high-flying offense. The coach's son is the quarterback. They're amazing on offense, what they can do, and they're a team that's less than an hour away from Nashville. So they wanted a piece. They wanted a big piece of Vanderbilt. They got them at home, and yet Vanderbilt scored on the first three possessions of the game and stomped them, shut down their offense completely. And you say, well, is this really that good a team at Middle Tennessee State? Well, all I've got to do is wait and wait, watch what happened in week two. They went and beat Syracuse. Middle Tennessee State beat Syracuse, and Vanderbilt just beat the heck out of them. It was not even a contest. So this Vanderbilt team is much improved over the average of last year and much more like the team that finished off the season.
That's perfectly said. And offensively, we've talked briefly about them, but you really like their running back. Their quarterback just seems to be a winner and a real savvy guy. But we got to talk about their defense. I know it's just two games in, but boy, are they playing with confidence, and their numbers are eye-popping. They're giving up just 3.1 yards per play. That's not per rush. That's per play. That's in any league, at any level, that's really good.
It is. They've stymied both teams. Alabama A&M would probably not be a surprise to you that they're able to stuff them like K-State stuffed Charlotte. But Wyatt, overall, what they've done their first two games has shown no weaknesses. That's the thing. They're putting pressure on the quarterback, stuffing the run game, not breaking down in the secondary. No receivers are open. So, you know, you can't say, well, that was a coverage sack or it was just great pass rush. It's been both. And they also have been bringing effective blitzes. So they've got linebackers who are running through out of their 3-4 set and getting sacks as well. So they really haven't shown any weakness. So if you watch the tape and study it like I have, you start going, well, I don't see where they're going to be beat yet. It's just a matchup where you say K-State's a better football team than they've seen so far, so hopefully K-State can create some things. Hopefully K-State has the physical power to maybe open up some holes. But it's rare, I know it's only two games into the season, but it's rare, Wyatt, when I watch a team and don't say, oh, here's where their weakness is. If K-State can attack that weakness effectively, then they're going to be able to hurt them and get out and be effective on the offensive side. I haven't found that yet. And if you want to talk about these players, the thing that I would say, Wyatt, is they're all thick. You just go to every position on the defensive side, and they look like they've bulked up and lifted more than other teams do.
Yeah.
And they're not slow. It's just in their uniform, they look like they're all thicker. And it doesn't matter if it's a defensive lineman, a linebacker, or a safety. It's really interesting. They're big and strong, and we can't tell how fast they are compared to the competition they played. But like I said, when you show no weaknesses after two games, you got to feel very comfortable. And I'm not surprised at all that you throw out the stat 3.1 yards per play. That's preposterous. That's impossible.
It is.
A good defense stopping the run would probably be 4.0, and that's not even the pass. So I'm telling you, I'm watching the tape, Wyatt, and I see no bad plays. It's just every play there where they're supposed to be, and the stats back it up.
Yeah, just a real well-balanced quality football team, and we'll continue to talk about it, but we do want to remind you our Wildcat podcast is brought to you by Briggs, the official Wildcat podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com. Where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. Buy the K-State Superstore. Customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire. From the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and service for all of their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. I want to ask you a little bit about some of the K-State happenings here, maybe on personnel, Stan. We saw A.J. Parker this past weekend take over for Duke Shelley and do just a terrific job starting and basically playing most of the entire ball game. As you look back on that, how big was that? I mean, losing Duke Shelley is a big deal, and it seemed pretty seamless.
Yeah, it's really something. The development program at K-State is very good. It's almost magical because I use another example that was real. Last year, K-State played 75% plus of their season, and they were going along and playing well. But I hadn't thought 5 seconds about a defensive back named Creemore. I mean, I know he's on the roster, I know he's working hard, and I know he's developing.
Yep.
But I never thought about him being a factor, getting out on the field, until the next year, maybe. And then all of a sudden, he comes in, Wyatt, and starts the last three games and played great. And I just think and remember, and my kids play now and have played for many years at K-State, whether you think about Stanton and Landry, I know this. I know it so well, how hard they're working, how focused they are, and how they treat every day like Coach Snyder wants, getting a little bit better every day. Now, you and I, we don't spend a lot of time worrying about those guys redshirting or working their way up the roster and their dreams. we focus in on usually the first string players that play and a few backups that get in a rotation. But Cremore was developing that whole time. I say that because A.J. Parker, he steps in, doesn't have that much experience. He was a redshirt last year. He's hardly played. He had one game. He got in just a little bit at the end, and here he's thrown out there to be a starter. But then you remember how hard he's worked and how ready he is. So there are a number of guys. You know, I'd love to spend hours because then we could break down each player and talk about their prospects and when they might show up or if they'll ever show up and what they need to maybe make a difference in their career. But it amazes me still, Wyatt, because they get caught up in who the starters are and who the backups are that are ready to roll and step in. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about, hey, A.J. Parker's ready to play. And I thought he did fine, and I think K-State's going to be fine utilizing his skills. It was not too big for him. He doesn't have a misunderstanding out there on the field like, oh, boy, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. He has been taught very, very well. And I can promise anybody who's listening and those rooting for the Wildcats that what makes this so amazing is Bill Snyder is getting the fifth-string guys ready just in case at some time in their career, like a Cremore. You know, Cremore isn't just a brand new freshman. He's been around a little while, and yet he's working. But I know it's amazing the discipline Bill Snyder and his staff have to go out and work with the Jordy Nelson as if he's going to be a star someday. And guess what? He might be. But there are a number of guys who never got a chance, never made it, but they get paid attention to just in case, to live their dream, to continue to work. And it's great for the kids to have the discipline. But it's one of the unusual things that K-State prepares that way. It isn't that way at most schools, Wyatt. There's 125 players at most schools, and the coaching staff's focused on about 60 of them. And the other 60, glad to have them around, know their name, hope they're doing well in academics, but don't come to work every day trying to make those guys great. And it is not easy to do to coordinate the work of 125 guys, but that's what K-State tries to do, and we see so many instances. So welcome to the field, A.J. Parker. You look pretty good.
Yeah. I also want to get your take on what Coach Snyder said after the ball game about Eli Walker, who is a very, very athletic safety, played a year with D.J. Reed at Cerritos. He seems to be making pretty good strides. What is your perception on how he's doing now, and what kind of player, impact player, can this guy be, maybe even just two or three or four games from now?
Well, I definitely think he could be a much bigger factor then, and there's not a lot of limitations to how good he can be. He has the athleticism. It's just the knowledge. And the way K-State's secondary works, they work together more than a lot of teams do with their coverages and even how they work with the fronts. So K-State's team is more connected, all the way from Will Gary at the defensive tackle to the safety the furthest away from the line of scrimmage. You know, some teams just have cornerbacks do their role and safeties play deep and linemen worry about rushing the quarterback. Because K-State's so different, there's a teamwork that's pretty unbelievable, kind of simultaneous equations working together. You got to have great knowledge, and there's going to take some time for experience. And I always believe a big theorem that I have, at K-State at least, and I don't know why it wouldn't be true at other places, but I know about K-State, when you're a junior college transfer, you really hit your stride in the latter part of that first year that you're on campus. And sometimes you get a chance to redshirt, and then you're ready to go earlier the next year. But if you don't get a redshirt, oftentimes it's midseason before it all starts making sense, what all the communication you have and what it means to be a teammate and everything else. So I think it's going to be looking up for Eli Walker. I think he has some athleticism, but it's going to take a little time because right now a little indecisiveness from a safety can cost you in big plays very quickly. It's the most dangerous position out there. If you're a defensive tackle and you mess up, you know, they make an 8-yard run. If you mess up at safety, they're dancing in the end zone back there. So that's one of the challenges for Eli Walker. He's going to have to be really in tune and know everything he's supposed to do, how to work with everybody else on the field, and then let his athleticism play out. So I'm encouraged that Coach Snyder is seeing the improvement from him, and I'm looking forward to him getting more playing time. But I would bet it's more latter half of this year where he becomes more comfortable and a better factor.
Well, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, we are going to see some Big 12 conference football games. With that, I guess a final thought or two here about this past weekend is we want to talk each week and kind of set our fans up for what should be a heck of a Big 12 football race. I'm just curious as to, I know you saw it, so I won't even ask you that. I'm curious as to what you thought of Oklahoma's dominating performance at Ohio State.
very impressive. And any questions that we had at first glance about Bob Stoops not being on the sideline were not a factor.
Right.
We said on our radio broadcast, and why you should always listen to our radio broadcast down the Learfield network line, because there's all kinds of good stuff that we talk about. But one of the things we talked about is Ohio State does not seem that impressive to me. The quarterback play by Barrett is not dominant. He has trouble in the passing game, and he's really not that elusive and fast as a runner. Less dangerous, it seems like, than Charlotte's quarterback was against K-State. So Ohio State has all the talent in the world, but they don't seem to be hitting on all cylinders. They got wiped out by Clemson last year in a championship game. I mean, wiped out. That's very surprising for an Urban Meyer team. So I thought Oklahoma could stay with them. We said it right on the air. Go back and listen to the tape. And we said we thought Oklahoma would be there at the end. But for them to finish the job and to do it in a dominating fashion and for Baker Mayfield to look that good, I mean, Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State, Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, maybe the two best quarterbacks in the country, and they're trying to figure out who the best quarterback in the state of Oklahoma is. So, wow. Baker Mayfield was so impressive during the game, throwing the ball around. Oklahoma looked athletic. They had a spark about them. So they look like a national championship-level team, and it was a big statement for the Big 12, because I had said before that game that if Oklahoma didn't win that game, I was concerned that the Big 12 would have to have either Oklahoma State or K-State go undefeated to make it all the way to the college football playoff, that the benefit of the doubt would not be there without Oklahoma doing something significant. And now that Oklahoma won, this college football playoff committee has an obligation to evaluate this the same way they did Ohio State. Ohio State did not win their division last year. Okay? Can I get on my soapbox right now, White?
Absolutely.
They did not win their division and didn't play in the championship game, didn't have the extra game, and they were invited right into the college football playoff. Now, the only reason why you would ever think Ohio State deserved to be in a college football playoff is they went to Oklahoma, played well, dominated near the end of the game, and beat Oklahoma. That's the only real feather in a cap on their resume. Oklahoma has that this year. So I hope they reward Oklahoma the same way. You know, Oklahoma may only lose one game all year and not win the Big 12 championship or something like that. I hope they invite Oklahoma the same way they did Ohio State, because that's the only fair way to look at it, in my opinion. It's a big win for the Big 12 and amazing performance by Oklahoma. TCU did great work controlling a game at Arkansas. How about
they
that
sure
win
did.
On the road against an SEC team? So those are two big games. Iowa State played so well against Iowa. Continues to look like a very good team. And then just, you know, last week you asked me what my thoughts were after week one, and I said don't forget how well Texas Tech and Iowa State played. But obviously a surprise is the fact that Baylor lost a game. Well, now Baylor has lost a second game to UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio, and now they're on the road to a very good Duke team that took care of Northwestern. So this is a different area to look at Baylor, who had not lost a non-conference regular season game since 2011 and now lost twice being upset at home this year. So where is Baylor going to land? What is going to happen the rest of the way? They're unlikely to beat Duke, so they go into conference 0-3 and start with one of the best teams in the conference. And in their first three conference games, I think they play Oklahoma, K-State, and Oklahoma State, or maybe the reverse order, but the Wildcats are the second one. They're playing the three favorites to start after a non-conference that might be 0-3. So these are big punches in the gut to Baylor right now. We'll see how they respond with the new coaching staff.
Yeah, they play Oklahoma at Kansas State, a week off at Oklahoma State and West Virginia at home. There's no doubt that's the toughest four-game stretch in the league. Well, we're about out of time here, Stan. We appreciate your time today. We'll see you at the end of the week as we head for Nashville in what could be a very entertaining ball game between Kansas State and the Commodores.
Wyatt, great to talk to you, and I got one bit of advice that I already gave you. Wyatt,
okay.
Make sure you listen to us on Learfield on Saturday.
Have to.
K-State, Vanderbilt. Make sure you listen. Must listen radio.
We will have air coverage beginning at 4:30 through the fine folks at Learfield. That's going to do it for this week's show, brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening to the Wildcat Podcast.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast. presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.